This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a powerful jazz suite marking Hurricane Katrina's landfall, incorporating visual art and dance, or a bold performance solo with a unique perspective on immigration issues, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Jazz, art, and dance mark the 14th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina's landfall in a powerful multimedia performance at the Marigny Opera House. What We Carry is a jazz suite by native New Orleanian musician and composer Dr. Mark St. Cyr, with art and writing by Jennifer Dove Cooper and dance choreography by Jarrell Hamilton. Mark and Jennifer are here. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you.
For New Orleanians, August 29th, 2005 is a date that brings back memories of catastrophic damage to our city and the loss of many lives in the wake of Hurricane Katrina's landfall. Tell me, Mark, how did the storm inspire this work, What We Carry?
As I watched the events of the storm, I had music that came to me. It was a total of 6 movements. I didn't ask for them. They just simply came. That was back in 2005, actually, when the storm occurred. And it was not until 2016 when I met Jennifer and played it for her, who was actually stranded in the Superdome, that we decided to collaborate. Jennifer is a visual artist. In 2016, we decided to collaborate. It came to fruition on 2018, August 29th, last year.
13 years of the making.
Yes, it was quite unusual because I had never really played it for anybody or in the public. When we collaborated in 2016, little did we know we would get a grant in 2018 in Lafayette to have Jennifer to create purses, which she started to create after the storm. One thing that helped me to play my music even more so was seeing this photograph of Jennifer going up the down ramp, the 610 ramp on Franklin Avenue. And the things that I wrote about, it was one thing to see it take place on the television or even seeing patients coming in into places where I was working. But then to actually see Jennifer and see her and ask her questions, it was even the more inspiring and powerful to me.
Now, what is the relation to the title and the art that Jennifer's making?
The reason we came up with What We Carry is because Jennifer's art is in the form of a sculptured purse.
And the purses, Jennifer, they carry the emotional baggage? Is that the reference?
It is. When I first heard Mark's music, I was so excited to hear notes rather than words that explained my feelings about what had happened. And so taking that and putting it into art and exploring on a personal level what that had meant to myself and others who had been through trauma was really exciting to be able to combine that.
Can you describe the purses for us?
They're hard-bodied paper mache. I use acrylic paint. I depict different things. For example, there's a purse called Stuffed that's about overeating, and it also relates to needing help. And in it and on it, there are images on the outside as well as on the inside. And so a woman is blowing a bubble, and she's becoming sort of part of water, like it's flooding. I think that when I hear music, it's just soothing, and I love the idea of triumph over trauma. So that's really appealing to me.
Thank you.
I didn't ask for the music. It came in six movements in the order in which we will present them. And the first five songs are slow. They can be emotional. And the last movement is on the upbeat. And it was only last year I realized that it parallels a New Orleans jazz funeral in which the music is slow, dirge-like, and we end on a happy note. And that happy note is when I was inspired by the mother of Donald Harrison here in New Orleans. When I saw her on C-SPAN back in 2005, and she said, "I'm a survivor, and I'm still standing, and I'm going to keep on working to get back home." And that was it. That's the happy note.
I love that. Because so many people in our native city have been affected, it's a way of giving a gift, too, to say, you know, we may not all have experienced the exact same thing, but we understand, instead of the suffering part, we understand that you're feeling pain and we want to try to bring you to a beautiful place with that, where you can see images and hear music and see amazing dancing.
And that's the third leg of this, is the dance. Music, art, and dance. What will we experience with the dance, Mark?
When we initially did the production, it was the music, the art, spoken word. But we're very happy to have Jarrell Hamilton to choreograph dance to the six movements. It should be rather exciting. When we spoke to Jarrell, Jarrell said, "Oh, I love to storytell. I love to storytell." And it didn't take her long to grasp the concept of what we wanted her to do.
Now, tell us a little about yourself. You are a medical doctor?
Yes, I am a medical doctor, board certified in internal medicine. I grew up in New Orleans in Pontchartrain Park. Jennifer grew up in the Ninth Ward. In residency, I went to Charity Hospital in Lafayette, and that's where I presently live. What I do now is contract work in the emergency room across the state.
And I see you have some famous musical roots in your family tree. You're related to the late, great jazz banjoist, Johnny St. Cyr?
Yes, I am related to the late Johnny St. Cyr, the famous banjo player who played with Louis Armstrong, Jelly Roll Morton.
But you didn't always know that, did you?
No, I did not. Oftentimes people would ask me. Early on, probably in the early 90s, when Wynton Marsalis came to Lafayette, and I was walking with him across the street, that's the first thing he asked me. You related to Johnny? I would always have to say, I really don't know. And with other people continuing to ask me, I decided to hire a genealogist, and she did the work for me and checked with people who actually were related to him. And the lineage, the names of my family connected with their family, and she said that I was related. It goes all the way back to the Civil War time.
Wow, that's incredible. Will audiences feel a little lighter, maybe unburdened after this experience?
We hope they do.
Yeah.
Both of us do.
We hope that by collectively carrying this weight, that it will make it just a little lighter for everyone.
Musician and composer Dr. Mark St. Cyr and artist Jennifer Dove Cooper, it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
The Marigny Opera House presents the multimedia performance, What We Carry, with jazz by Dr. Mark St. Cyr, special guest, Dr. Michael White, words and art by Jennifer Dove Cooper, and dance choreography by Jarrell Hamilton. One performance only, Thursday, August 29th, 725 St. Ferdinand Street. More info is online at marignyoperahouse.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts. on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. A timely performance addressing immigration issues kicks off a national tour as award-winning, multi-talented performance artist Jose Torres Tama remounts his one-man sci-fi Latino-noir stage production, Aliens, Immigrants, and Other Evildoers, at the Ashe Cultural Arts Center. It is a thought-provoking, unique insight into the plight of undocumented Latin American workers in this country and the state of affairs at our southern border, served with a dose of sarcasm by a cast of nine characters embodied by Torres Tama. Jose, welcome back.
I am happy to be here, Diane. We just have to decide which one of those characters am I going to play right now. I may play Jose Torres Tama, also a.k.a. Obi-Wan Kenobi. See, some jokes I do just for you.
Uh-huh. The situation at our country's southern border remains fluid, as does this production, which premiered, I believe, nearly a decade ago. How have you revamped your performance to mirror the current immigration situation in the country?
Well, the performance script is always changing because the immigration issue is so live. And I'm deeply grateful for the Ashe Cultural Arts Center, who was an initial commissioner of this project back in 2010 when it was staged. So Ashe is on board again. And it couldn't be presented at a more challenging time. First of all, I'm an Ecuadorian immigrant, so immigration issues are a concern to me. I'm a naturalized U.S. citizen, and I cannot bask in any privilege I am not afforded to make gringo experimental theater about nothing. I have to make work that speaks to my people's truth. And there is no greater truth right now than this empire that has migrated deep into the dark side. I look at things with this sort of sci-fi prism, and I shapeshift into nine characters. Some of those characters have been developed through filmed interviews, including one of a Honduran reconstruction worker who experienced an atrocity of having his hand crushed by a dumpster while he was part of the reconstruction in May of 2006, post-Katrina. And the contractor never did anything to assist him. So he has a challenging story. That one speaks to the health issues, the labor problems that so many reconstruction workers went through. And he had come here 2 weeks after the storm. He had come from Nashville. So many people migrated here and so many were brought in. He was a member of the Congress of Day Laborers, and that's the day laborers organization that this project actually honors, because we have to remember, I always say that the United States of amnesia seduces you to embrace forgetting. And it's forgotten that immigrant workers have been a vital part to the rebirth and resurrection of New Orleans. And that's why the work honors the members of the Congress of Day Laborers. I also interviewed people in the cities of Houston, and I performed the story. I shapeshift, if you can imagine, I shapeshift into a Nicaraguan woman, an elder woman who tells me the story of when she crossed the border at the age of 8 with three little girls, crossing to reunite with her Nicaraguan father, escaping the Civil War, a war that the United States had much to do with. We have to understand that these crises are created by the empire right here, right? How are we involved in creating, you know, destruction and really dispossessing people of their democratic governments to institute particular puppet dictatorships? And Nicaragua suffered that during the 80s, same way El Salvador, the same way Guatemala suffered. So, you know, those crises are coming back to haunt us continuously. So, you know, I have to work in developing performance pieces, stage work, that deals with the human crisis, the human condition. And for me, there's no greater crisis right now than the situation at the border where children are dying in cages. Mothers are being told to quench their thirst by drinking toilet water. I mean, no matter where you may stand on the political spectrum, that is exemplary of moral corruption. Like, where are we? Like Mr. Elijah Cummings said, right? Like, we're supposed to be better than that. So the work has a very human quality to it. It'll break your heart, but it'll also make you laugh.
How and why do you use humor to advance the story?
Humor is a seductive measure, right? That's why comedians, I'm a really big fan of stand-up comedies, because they seduce you with comedy and you can begin to withstand a lot of deep and dark information. So I have a character called El Pachuco of Interracial and Interplanetary Love of the Future. And Pachuco has an East LA accent, right? And, you know, I'm already referring to myself in the third person, so you know that's already weird, right? So El Pachuco says, you know what worries me? Is when I hear politicians say, let's take America back. And I'm like, how far back do you want to go? 1950 was not a good time to even be a white woman back then. Not a good time to be gay in 1950. Not even a good time to be a Jewish filmmaker in Hollywood. Elia Kazan, Google it. He gave up names. Google 1950. No, Google it, because Latinos, we love to Google. No, Google is actually a Latin term. Well, to be honest with you, Google is an old Aztec term. From the Aztec goddess, Google Quetzalcoatli, which means look it up, ese. Know your history in the United States of amnesia that seduces you to embrace forgetting. And we can't forget certain things, like I remember the Taco Bell Chihuahua. Remember him? You don't see him anymore. Remember him? Yo quiero Taco Bell. Teaching all of you Spanish before Beto O'Rourke and before Cory Booker. I would vote for that little Chihuahua if he was running. Right? No, you don't see him anymore. Because I heard he was working in Hollywood without papers. He got deported.
Humor is very powerful.
It's not only an important measure for me, but for the audience, for all of us, because when I perform my pieces, there are no border walls. You know, they're always continuously breaking that fourth wall. I'm continuously engaging the audience because, above all, it's a ritual for me. Performance is a healing ritual.
How much has changed since this work first appeared? How much did you have to do to make it current?
You know, everything changed after 2016. Things got even more dramatic. It's not like the Obama administration was a friend to the immigrant community, because we saw him as the deporter in chief. And Pachuco says sometimes, Aurelia, you know, I don't get so choked up about Obama, because we found ourselves between Barack and the GOP hard place on immigration reform. I'm going to let that sit with you a little bit, no? So I changed the script, and the beginning part has changed to address this issue, to address whom I call the Agent Orange of Chaos, who has thrusted us into a practical war on immigrants, where we have become criminals of the state. When you have a candidate immediately say that Mexicans are rapists and criminals, you know, we are all Mexicans sometimes in the eyes of Gringolandia. You know, I've had friends of mine be called illegal aliens. You may be without papers, but no human being is illegal. Let's make sure we look at some of the dehumanization of the language that has been actually constructed to create collective conviction towards us, so that the entire state of government can dehumanize us and act upon genocide and cultural cleansing. And that's very dramatic. And what can you do on stage is present the drama of the day. And I need to be able to continuously present the drama that affects me, for me to deal with the trauma that affects not only me, but my immigrant community. Our community here is under tremendous stress. The El Paso shooting is just another example of the kind of vitriol and poison and hatred that has become quite common in this idea to make America hate again. So as a poetic practitioner of language, I address and play with this language. So there are changes that are really very real, especially at the beginning, that address this current situation.
What is the change you would like to see?
Above all, I'm interested in creating work of consciousness, right? And I use comedy, I use different characters, I use a visual medium, a soundtrack, to inspire the raising of consciousness, to understand that what we are seeing today is the empire deep in the dark side. Will we have to think 10 years from now and revisit this time period as one of the most brutal time periods of this country's history? Because we've seen this before. Pachuco says, Orale, they called it the Indian Removal Act. They weren't even trying to be subtle, no? They could have called it Operation Iraqi Freedom. Some jokes I do just for me, right? So let's look at that. Chinese Exclusion Act. Japanese internment, the Fugitive Slave Act, this is nothing new. There's always this language that we have to, you know, aspire to our better angels, but this country is built on genocide and blood and enslavement. Unless you're a Native American, you have no right to claim this land as your own. I want to make sure that people understand that the United States of amnesia seduces you to embrace forgetting, and it's the hemispheric Americas. Right? We are all Americans. I was born in Central America and raised in South America, so I'm more American than most people here. Right? And I want people to walk away with an understanding that art and theater and performance has to be current to talk to people's trauma and drama, and to use all the strategies so that they can walk with an understanding and possibly take action so they can be reflective of themselves when the artist is at his or her best or their best, it's when the work mirrors the society and can offer some hope.
You are gearing up for a national tour with this work. Where are you headed?
I'm excited because after the Ashe shows, the first stop is the Chicago International Latino Theater Festival. And the two shows there in Chicago take place at the National Mexican Museum of Art. After that, I go to Madison a few hours away and perform there with the support of the Dade County Arts Organization. Then I go to San Diego Repertory Theater. And then the big fall, two-week run at the Los Angeles Theater Center. That's going to be a dream come true because I've been waiting to bring this back to L.A. Then in the spring of 2020, I'm in Atlanta. Then I'm in D.C. and the University of Maryland, and other dates are developing. So this is the epitome of the tour that I've been wanting to put together. It's a very moving experience to have an opportunity to really take this show on the road.
Award-winning, multi-talented performance artist Jose Torres Tama, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Green, I feel a little alien green, extraterrestrial green, my favorite Martian green. Illegal without a green card, undocumented green, distrustful snake green, odious, Othello jealous thespian green, broccoli of the many meals we picked for you green.
The Ashe Cultural Arts Center and Arte Futuro Productions kick off a national tour of Aliens, Immigrants, and Other Evildoers, a sci-fi Latino noir solo by Jose Torres Tama. Two shows only, Friday and Saturday, August 30th and 31st, at Ashe, 1712 O.C. Haley Boulevard.
De jalapeños verdes, picantes, como la revolución que viene verde, rica como la salsita verde de mi gente verde.
That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Additional support comes from Le Petit Theatre. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.